Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We're very excited to have you here with us today. We're going to continue on our mini-series talking about spring cleaning and how cleaning is connected to mental health. Before we get started, if you haven't already, join our Facebook community. We have a link in the description down below. In that community, we continue the conversation that we start on this podcast. So if you'd like to continue the conversation beyond this podcast, join us there. So let's jump right in. So today, what we're going to be discussing are specific cleaning types, and understanding what cleaning type you are can be very helpful to understanding why you might not be achieving your cleaning goals or why you might be getting into conflict with your spouse over cleaning. So Ruth and I, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that we are dramatically different in a lot of different areas of how we operate. And cleaning definitely is not an exception. For me, cleaning is a speed sport. I want to get in, I want to go, I want to move, I want to have big differences, and I want to have them fast. And so if you want to conceptualize how I clean, I want to have a shovel and I just want to start scooping and dumping and scooping and dumping. I want to move things as quickly as I can so that I can get the space to look as presentable as I can, as fast as I can. So it doesn't matter what's supposed to go in what bin. Whatever toy is closest to whatever bin is going in that bin. Versus Ruth is very different from me, where it's not a speed game. I want everything to be in its place. I want to go through and determine, is this something that we need? Is it not something that we need? Is this the right place for that? Or maybe we should move the place for it. Maybe it'd be more efficient if we moved it over here. And so when Ruth gets done cleaning, things can be very organized, but it also can take a long time. Versus for me, you unleash me as a tornado in the basement. I can get the basement clean in 20 minutes. But nothing's where it's supposed to be, but there's nothing on the floor, there's nothing out, it looks presentable. But then, you know, you got Legos mixed in with the dress-up clothes, and the kids can't find anything that they're looking for.
Which even now, as you say, Legos mixed in with the dress-up clothes, that makes me cringe. That's wild to think, and I don't think you do that.
No, I actually don't do that, but that was the two things that popped into my head. But I have that low level of caring about where things go. I just want them off the floor. I don't want them on top of surfaces. I want them in bins. I want them put away so that when you look and observe at everything, it looks nice.
Which you could see how that could start a conflict. If you're cleaning alongside your spouse and you guys have very different styles, you can see how if your spouse was picking up something and just storing it in a bin and you want things to be labeled and organized, how that could cause some kind of conflict. Now, I think it's important to understand our different styles and our personalities and who we are, but it's also important to understand what is the goal of this cleaning session. So different cleaning sessions might be different. Maybe you're having some people over and you just need it cleaned in a short amount of time, then absolutely Tim's way would be the best way. And that would be so helpful for me if he just went and he did his thing and we'd figure it out later. But if it's a Saturday and we're trying to reset and redo the area, then I could see how we would get into conflict because then a lot of what he's doing, I would have to undo or redo. And I think this is why what we're going to talk about today is important because it really does help you understand that your spouse isn't trying to irritate you or frustrate you. They're still trying to get the job done, but they're doing it in their own specific way. And you can imagine how discouraging that would be to Tim or to your spouse if I'm like, hey, Tim, can you come and help me? And he comes downstairs to help. And every toy he picked up or along the way, I was just nitpicking and telling him what he was doing was wrong or no, don't put that there. That would drive him nuts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because then she's kind of attacking my values. Like, I want it to get done fast. I don't want to take a long time. And then feeling like she's asked me to help, but then isn't accepting my help. And I think a lot of times people can feel like your partner or your spouse is doing this on purpose to irritate you. And there's even a term out there that people throw around, and they are trying to interpret what other people's intentions are. And one term that people use a lot is weaponized incompetence. When somebody is intentionally trying to do a bad job to try to get the other person not to ask them for help anymore. But what I think most of the time is the case is that people have different values with the different things that they're engaging into. And so when we think about it, for me, my value for cleaning is speed and efficiency and time. And for Ruth, it's more about organization and being meticulous and having things put into the right place. And so we both value a clean home, but how we get to that end goal because of our values is different. Would I like it to be meticulous and clean and everything being in the right place? Yes, absolutely. But I value my time more than that meticulous aspect. So then most of the time when I'm cleaning, it's going to be that tornado whirlwind where I go through and swoop in and everything's clean quickly. Versus for Ruth, she normally values that more meticulous and everything being in its place and going through everything. And so that's going to be the type that she performs more often. And so when you're thinking about these things, it's always important. And I know we've talked about this before, but it's a really good reminder that we always want to assume positive intent from our partner, that they aren't intentionally trying to annoy or bother us, but that they just think and operate differently than we do. And it's okay that we do that, but then just understanding those differences and then understanding what is our end goal with what we're doing right now to make sure that we're going to get the best effect out of it. So let's take a little bit of time and let's talk about the different types of cleaners that there are.
So the first type of cleaner we're going to talk about is meticulous cleaners. And this is where they have attention to details. A lot of times they have a schedule and a checklist ensuring that every nook and cranny is addressed. So when you think about it, it's a lot of those deep cleaning sessions where it involves thorough dusting, scrubbing, organizing. It's not just the shovel approach that Tim was talking about.
This definitely would be the opposite of the shovel approach. This is the tweezer approach.
And they tend to be more meticulous in what they're using. So they have a preference on maybe specialized or specific cleaning products for different areas. But the challenge for meticulous cleaners is that it requires a lot of time and effort, which can be overwhelming if you're not planning it out properly, or you have this expectation that this is the type of cleaning you're going to do every single time.
And I think another thing that can happen too is setting up an expectation for how long you have to actually clean. So a meticulous cleaner, you might jump in and start doing a task and think like, oh, I'm going to spend an hour doing this, but you actually saddled up for a 6-hour activity. So the next type is very obviously the best type, and that's speed cleaner. So for speed cleaners, the major characteristic is that efficiency is key. They want to achieve a clean space in as little time as possible.
That is 100%, Tim.
Totally. Whatever they could do to minimize the amount of time that they have to put into cleaning is what they're going to do. So they would want to use a single tool in order to clean things if they can. So when I clean the bathroom, I have a bottle of alcohol in a spray bottle and I spray it over everything and then I wipe everything down. Versus having something that I use for the mirror and something I use for the sink and something I use for the floor and something I use for the toilet. I'm like, hey, this is good enough and I'll spray it on everything and that's efficient and then I can wipe everything down and clean it all that way. And the main goal of the person who's a speed cleaner is also trying to just make these surfaces be presentable. And that for me is a big thing. Like, I don't like things being stored on top of things or on the floor. I want the floor to be clean. I want the tops of things to be clean. I want them to be in bins and out of sight as much as possible. Now, some challenges that speed cleaners can run into is sometimes they cut corners. And this is definitely something that I do sometimes where I'm not paying enough attention to what I'm cleaning or what I'm putting away. So things that maybe I should be throwing away or something that should be going into a different bin, I don't bother to take the time to do that a lot of times because I just want to get it done as quickly as I can. And a part of this is because I know I only have a certain stamina for cleaning, and I want to make sure I can get as much cleaning done until my stamina runs out and I don't want to do it anymore. But then if I take on too many areas that I don't want to clean at the same time, then what happens is I'll cut more and more corners to try to fit in all those areas into the amount of stamina that I have.
Right, and then some areas don't get as clean as maybe they should, which you can see how if you are a meticulous cleaner and your spouse is a speed cleaner, how that could already cause conflict and frustrations with each other. But there are benefits to both. And so you can get frustrated with each other, or you can really work to each other's strength and maybe have your spouse, who is a speed cleaner, just run through the house and do their thing. And then you come after them with your meticulous cleaning technique.
It's actually funny that you say that, because sometimes when you do that and you come behind me and you clean, or you do something that I've already done afterwards, it makes kind of my effort feel not very valuable. But then there's other times where it's very beneficial. So when we're editing the podcast, I go through and I do a speed edit where I take out all the big chunks of bad things. But then sometimes I'll leave in some of the more meticulous things, or things I have to like zoom in to clip out or whatever, because I know Ruth's going to go through it afterwards. And so I'll just leave that in because I'm like, oh, like I didn't do a great job, but I know she's going to go after it. And then with a fine tooth comb, she's going to pop that part out.
And I think you're right. That's good to know that you feel like your efforts are kind of in vain, because in my mind, I was thinking, oh, that's a great plan for you to speed clean and then me to come after and meticulously clean, not knowing that really that would kind of hurt your feelings.
And it's definitely not all the time. It has to do more like if I do something and then you change that thing. So if I like put toys in one bin and then you took them out and put them in another bin, then I do think that that would feel like wasted time or effort. But if I, let's say hypothetically, were cutting some corners and then you clean the corners that I cut, I don't think I'd be offended or irritated by that. Just kind of the same idea with the podcast where we're editing. Sometimes I intentionally know like, oh, I'm cutting that corner because I'm being a little bit lazy here. But I know Ruth is coming in with a fine tooth comb.
And so we'll talk about this later, but it is important to express and communicate those expectations. Because I think if I told you, hey, can you just go through the house and pick up everything off the floor so I can vacuum? Or can you go and do a speed clean through everything and then I'll come after and kind of work on the details? I think if you knew that in advance and I communicated that to you, would it still be frustrating to you?
No, I don't think it would be frustrating if you communicated that to me, because then that would set up how I would operate on it. But if it's like, hey, help me clean, and then you're following behind me and redoing everything I did, then I'm like, okay, well, you could just do this by yourself then.
Right. So that communication and setting up those expectations are really important. And even when we talked about like, what is the goal of it? Is it, can we have people over? Let's quick clean and get all the visible areas done. Or is it, we're spending a Saturday and we're really trying to deep clean things or reset and reorganize? The third type of cleaner is the minimalist cleaner. And this is where they're minimizing as they go along. And they're recognizing that by having fewer belongings, it makes cleaning easier and quicker. And I think as we were kind of talking about the podcast and planning, you said this is the type of cleaner you want to be, Ruth.
And actually, as I'm thinking about it now, it's what I want too. But I think we both kind of fall short of actually achieving this.
Right, because I talk to the kids about this a lot. We talk about if we were to have less stuff, then we would spend less time cleaning up and be able to have more time to play board games or go outside and play. And so you had pointed out before this that I use this kind of speech and verbiage a lot as I'm talking with them. But it is hard to do, especially with having five kids. I think they're all at different stages and ages. And so some things I'm like, okay, now we can get rid of this thing. But I'm like, our youngest is still in that phase and she's still using it. And then we have all the way up to almost an 11-year-old, and a 2-year-old and an 11-year-old, and all the ranges in between have very different interests.
Well, for sure. And then when we're going through things and we're asking the kids like, hey, do we want to keep this? Do we want to get rid of it? Like several kids might be like, oh, let's get rid of it. And then one's like, no, I want to keep it. So then it can make it hard to minimize those things.
And so the approach that minimalist cleaners have is they regularly tidy up a space to maintain that sense of order. They want to prevent clutter from accumulating. And if you're consistently working to maintain this minimalistic space, the cleaning process becomes a lot more straightforward because of the nature of having less belongings. But some of the challenges of minimalist cleaners, especially if you're just starting down that road or that's your desire and your goal, sometimes it's challenging to decide what stays and what goes because your preference is to own fewer items. But in that process, you have to make decisions along the way. All right, you guys, we still have 3 more cleaning types that we're going to talk about, but we're going to have to do that in the next episode. So far, we've talked about the meticulous cleaners, the speed cleaners, and the minimalist cleaners. But make sure you join us in the next episode as we talk about the other 3 types of cleaners. Once both of these episodes are out, we're going to post a poll, and we want to hear what type of cleaner you are. All right, you guys, have a great day. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.